when those guys are out of the league, they're going to start saying, oh, this guy's the next Kawhi, this guy's the next LeBron. And that's what really, you know, makes them special.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the Intentionally Foul Podcast, where everything is off limits and nothing is out of bounds. Today, we're going to talk about many different topics. What do we got today, Jacob?
Well, first, we're going to talk about the NFL in the future. How's that going to look post-COVID? Then we're going to talk about Kawhi's legacy if he would have won his third Finals MVP. And what brother duo was better, Bosa or Watt?
A lot of good talking points. I think we can go on for a while with those. Which one do you want to start off with first?
Let's go with the NFL in the future. It seems pretty relevant at this point.
Yeah. NFL in the future. I, for one, am really excited about it. I think there's a lot of great young talent going on. A lot of people are comparing this, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson kind of thing to Brady Manning. Still pretty early to make a call like that, but damn, like, they're really balling out right now.
Yeah, I think that comparison is definitely has some credibility. And I think it definitely makes sense that they're comparing those two to Brady and Manning, because Brady and Manning were the biggest quarterbacks in the 2000s, and Mahomes and Lamar Jackson will be the biggest quarterbacks in the 2010s.
Yeah.
Or 2020s even.
Yeah. I mean, with play style even, Brady and Manning, both known for just kind of chucking that shit, not really running too much, adjusting in the pocket a bit. With Mahomes and Lamar, they're really good at kind of making like rushing plays too, if they can't find anyone to throw to, which is pretty damn exciting if you got two guys who can do it that well. You know, so I'm really excited to see what they're going to do. I see pretty deep playoff runs for both the Ravens and the Chiefs for next year. Another quarterback I really want to focus on who is a dark horse for this upcoming season who may or may not make a deep run, Kyler Murray. He really pulled the Cardinals together last season.
Do you think adding DeAndre Hopkins was the tipping point that the Cardinals needed?
I think so, because even last year with the dog shit they had to work with on the Cardinals, he really just had no one to, you know, make a play with. You got David Johnson, who can kind of run sometimes. I mean, that's why I don't think he's, like, horrible. I think he kind of does his thing. He's not, like, he's definitely past his prime. But it was really just Kyler running around or, like, making something happen with David Johnson. But having that receiving option, too, that's going to be huge. Because the fact that Cardinals were able to win that many games last year with, like, no receiving going on whatsoever and Kyler just kind of pulling them together, I think it's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah. If you had to pick one team that you think in the decade of 2020 to 2030, what team do you believe will win the most championships?
That's a good question. I think it's a tough call, too, because we just started, you know. I mean, obviously, the Chiefs are, if you want to count this one, I guess, because they technically won the Super Bowl in the year 2020.
I think that counts.
Yeah, I'd count it. So they're ahead of everyone else right now. They have a lot of their Super Bowl roster coming back for next year. I think over 90%. They could very well win it next year. But I think the Ravens are always going to be there too because of the great draft they had. Who knows how the Cardinals are going to do. They could just go out and just say, fuck it, win everything next year. I would put my money, though, if I actually had to bet money on player age and development potential, the Kansas City Chiefs.
I would say, relating to that same kind of scale, I would say the San Francisco 49ers. I think that their young stars that they have, I mean, we'll talk about one later on, but yeah, that's a team that I think will have the most championships in this decade.
Yeah, because they came so close last year. It's not like the Super Bowl was a blowout by any means, you know.
Yeah, that hurts. That even hurts me to say because I'm a hardcore Minnesota Vikings fan, but if at some point you just have to put your opinion aside and accept that the 49ers are going to be good, the Chiefs are going to be good, you know, like there are teams besides your own team that are going to dominate this decade.
Yeah, I do like how the Niners play football, and it's really tough for me to watch them sometimes because of Jimmy G. When we still had him on the Patriots as a backup for Brady, that was a very tough decision because I didn't want to get rid of him. I said, this guy's great. He knows how to play. He's going to be a great successor to Brady. But Brady still had a few years left in him. And I mean, he put him to good use. You know, he got it done, you know, even after Jimmy left. But it just would have been really nice to have him and not have to worry about the future.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the NFL is going to look different because of the COVID outbreak?
Yeah, helmets, especially contact, very physical sport. I don't want to see people, you know, backing off on defense because of, you know, fear of the virus. It's tough because you have players who've been diagnosed. Some players on the Cowboys and Texans in the States where a lot of things have reopened with COVID, and they claim to have just been in their house the whole time. But it's mostly because of family members going in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how contagious this is. So I feel like after that, the NFL is getting even more worried about, yeah, you know, COVID precautions.
I mean, I don't know if our listeners have seen the photos on like Twitter and stuff of what the helmets and stuff might look like, but there is a concept going around where the helmet is completely enclosed and there's a small little vent like by the mouth area to just so that it doesn't get hot in there or develop any condensation. But all the players are like, yeah, we're not going to wear this.
I'm not too surprised by that. I wonder if it's going to affect, you know, how they play and really get in the way. We'll have to see. One more player I want to talk about, another quarterback in the future, is Deshaun Watson. I think that of all players right now, he is the most potential to become our generation's Dan Marino, being an amazing quarterback, but not winning a ring either during his whole career, because the way the Texans are operating right now with horrible front office management, it's not looking pretty likely. And I'd hate to see his career go to waste because I do really like how Deshaun Watson plays.
Yeah, I feel like after 2 years, he'll have enough of this shit. If nothing comes of it, I feel like he'll leave.
Yeah, I think his contract is up at the end of next season, and then they'd have to franchise tag him, which is only going to piss him off even more, and then he's going to leave after that's up. But if they can make something work during the franchise tag, that's really the last hope they have of retaining him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, their team's not even that good besides like Deshaun and a few of the secondary and linebackers.
Yeah.
Like, they need to work really hard. Otherwise, they're going to lose a once-in-a-lifetime kind of talent.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a great attitude right now going into this upcoming season. He's not, like, shitting all over Bill O'Brien, because that'd actually be really horrible press. And that'd actually worry a lot of Texans fans if he just came out and said, what the hell is my coach doing, you know? But he said, very excited that we added some veterans on the team. I think we're going to do great things. And I mean, if you want people to just kind of like not freak out, because Texans fans are freaking the fuck out right now.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want them to freak out. You got to say something like that. So he's playing it pretty well.
Yeah. He always seems like he can hold his own when it comes to like press and stuff. He's never a bad press nightmare or like anything kind of like the opposite of Antonio Brown.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the Texans should be very thankful they have him. But also in having him, I think you need to realize that you can't fuck up with who you, you know, put around him.
Mm-hmm. For sure. All right. Do you have anything else to add?
On that one, no. I think as far as other positions go, it's pretty much the same old, same old. You don't really see too many standouts. I mean, Michael Thomas, you know, he's been a great wide receiver this past year. He's kind of been setting the bar.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's going to be there still. I think a lot of the other receivers we saw last year is still going to be there. Just with the quarterbacks, that's where I'm seeing the most change as far as positions go and the most potential for success in the future.
Yeah. Not to talk about my team, but I think there is a player. His name is Daniil Hunter. He's very underrated. But I promise you, he's going to be like Dwight Freeney was in like the 90s and 2000s. He's going to be one of the best pass rushers the NFL has ever seen, because he already has the most sacks before the age of 25. In NFL history.
Yeah.
Like, there is no respect on this man's name except for in the Viking world. Like, that's all I'm seeing. is that he's got respect. He's jacked, everything. But everywhere else, like, they have no idea who he is.
Right. I kind of feel like with the Vikings, they're more known for just knocking the Saints out now. But it's really, I even feel like if they knocked, like, another team out that wasn't the Saints, like, they'd get, like, even more cred, you know? I don't know if it's just, like, a mismatch or whatever, but I hate to see that happen to players where the fan base knows how great they are because they're watching every game, but the rest of the league just has no idea. They're oblivious to it when the players really deserve to get that credibility.
Yeah, for sure. It's a sad sight to see, but I feel like every NFL team, I mean, any sport team, let's be honest, they all have their own dark horses.
Yeah. So we'll have to see with this upcoming season. I really do hope that it happens. If it doesn't, I'll be pretty fucking pissed. But
yeah,
we'll just have to find out. What do we got next?
All right. We got Kawhi legacy. If he would have won his third NBA Finals MVP.
Man, Kawhi Leonard. I remember watching Kawhi Leonard win his very first Finals MVP as a role player, too, on the Spurs. Mostly because he was able to stop LeBron on a decent number of possessions. A lot of LeBron's points kind of came from when there was a mismatch or Kawhi was on the bench. But without Kawhi in the game, you know, I don't really see them being able to hold LeBron to, you know, the number of points he had per game. So that was great to watch. I could not have predicted that he'd develop into the player he is today, though.
Yeah. What was the one thing that you told me Kawhi could possibly be MVP for three different teams?
Yeah. So this is going to be a good year for the NBA playoffs because him and LeBron both have a shot to win a Finals MVP for three different teams. There's very few players who've actually been able to pull it off. I'm trying to think. I mean, the list is so short that I'm having trouble recalling any other players who've actually been able to pull it off before.
Yeah, I can't remember.
If so, it's been a while. It's been a very long time since it's happened. I want to say, you know, Kareem, but it's really just kind of two teams with him, you know. But, yeah, we can see two players do it this year, which would be something really special. I mean, if you have the Clippers and the Lakers meeting up in the Western Conference Finals, you know you're going to have like a coin flip chance of seeing it happen because one of them is going to go to the NBA Finals. With Kawhi, though, you kind of have to analyze his legacy because do you look at him as a guy who makes the team better or is he in the right place at the right time all the time? Because he's never had a bad coach. He's never really had bad teammates around him either.
Yeah, I think he's better. And the fact that he is better, he goes in positions where he is doing the right thing at the right time.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I think he's fortunate to be in those situations, but he makes the most of his situations too. In fact, he makes the most of his situations so well that it looks like he's just in the right place at the right time, you know, because people can't believe it's working out that well for him. As far as moving between teams, he said that he was thinking about staying with the Raptors when his whole goal has just been to get to LA and then be the star, which he's doing right now. But going from San Antonio to Toronto to LA, is he just kind of going with his own flow or is he kind of a genius with where he wants to play? Because he's recruiting Paul George to like play with him. And then the Clippers had a lot of good players on the team before he even showed up.
Shit, that's a good question. I mean, I think Kawhi is picking his teams very intelligently. I believe, so when he first started on the Spurs, you know, like he didn't have that much popularity. Towards the end of Raptors, he started to gain more popularity, more respect. And having that respect, he could easily just text someone who also has respect or call or whatever and figure out a plan to meet up in another place. That's why I believe LA happened.
Yeah.
The only reason is because Paul George also wanted to go home. And so that just worked out perfectly for him. And I believe that that was the plan after the celebration for the Raptors championship got over.
I know every summer it seems like there's that one player that everyone's focused on. Last summer, it was all about Kawhi, you know, because of what he did with the Raptors. And I think that might have been his goal the whole time. Because He's like, okay, Pop, I don't want to play in San Antonio anymore. Send me to L.A. Pop says, fuck you, you're going to Siberia. And then he has to go prove himself to the free agency market and say, I want to play so well that any team is going to take me when it's my choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually, you know, exactly what he wanted, because the Clippers were like, please join us. He says, I want to join the Clippers. I want to play in L.A. So it all really worked out well for him. The tough thing to figure out about Kawhi is he's so quiet and so unpredictable. You don't really know what's going on in his head with his moves and what he's trying to accomplish. Like, is he even chasing an NBA legend, or is he just kind of like making a legend for himself? Because you try to, you know, compare him to different NBA legends in the past. People like to bring up the MJ thing because he's so good at scoring and he's so good at defense at the same time. But as similar as they are, I feel like Kawhi is making a new category for himself.
Yeah. The only player that I can even think of is Jeff Green.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jeff Green is the poor, very poor man's Kawhi Leonard. And that's the only person that I think I can relate to, because Kawhi Leonard is just, he's so overpowering. And his defense is on another level. And yeah, I don't know. There's nothing, there's nobody to really compare Kawhi right now, currently in the NBA.
Oh, no. I think that's what makes NBA players just that much better, because you always say, oh, they're the next, you know, Kareem, or they're the next MJ, or they're the next KG or something like that. But nowadays, you're going to see great players like LeBron, you're going to see great players like Kawhi, and down the road, when those guys are out of the league, they're going to start saying, oh, this guy's the next Kawhi, this guy's the next LeBron. And that's what really, you know, makes them special. Mm-hmm. Like Giannis, we've never seen a Giannis before. We've never seen a Kevin Durant before. They're going to get their own comparisons. I know in high school basketball, Amani Bates, great player, but he's getting KD comparisons because of length and scoring ability and stuff like that. So I'm really excited to see that happening right now.
Yeah, I'm excited for that too. I can't wait until that actually happens and he comes in the league, proves himself, because we've all seen NBA players get all this hype before they come to the draft and they end up shitting the bed, not proving themselves. I just don't want to see, it's hard because I don't want to see a lot of that happening, because there's a lot of young talent and youth, bringing in good youth talent into the NBA or any sport is crucial to the development of that league.
Yeah, little off topic, but I think about this every now and then. Lonzo Ball, I think by this point we can all say he's not a bad player by any means, but just the hype that he had from his dad and Big Baller Brand coming out of UCLA, that put his expectations way too high. I actually feel pretty bad for him, because let's say he kind of fell in the draft and he was like around pick number like 10, 15 or so. He comes out and then he's like, dude, he's like kind of playing the same, you know, on the Pelicans, he's playing even better. People would say like, oh, he's like sort of a steal. Like, that wasn't a bad pick at all. As a number two pick, it's not looking so good, you know, because like he's a number two pick that they traded away like not that long after. So that kind of goes back to the whole hype train and how it can kind of be bad.
Yeah, I think LeVar, he did a terrible job for his kids. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's set up. LaMelo and LiAngelo, like, I believe both those guys, well, I mean, not LiAngelo, but LaMelo is going to be decent in the league.
Oh, yeah. I see LaMelo's floor being, you know, even his floor is not even a bad player. I see his ceiling being amazing. LiAngelo, wasn't he on like a D-League team or something like that recently? He's at least playing some sort of basketball.
I think he's overseas. I think he's on a Europe team or something. Like, didn't Big Baller Brand like buy out a team and like LaMelo was playing on that team?
I wouldn't even be surprised. They're pretty rich.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened. And both LiAngelo and LaMelo were playing on that team. Yeah,
if all three of those brothers somehow make it in the NBA, that'd be something to watch.
Yeah.
We'll have to see though.
All right. Well, going on to our next topic, considering we just talked about brothers, we're going to discuss in the NFL, what brother duo is better, the Watts or Bosa? In this case, we're only going to talk about JJ and TJ Watt. Sorry, Derek. And then for the Bosas, we're going to talk about Joey and Nick.
All right. Which one do you want to start with?
Let's go. I think Bosa's.
Yeah.
So in my head, Nick and Joey are really good. Unpopular opinion, but I think Nick Bosa is better than Joey Bosa. At one point last season, both of them were in the AFC and NFC Defensive Player of the Week.
Right.
At the same time, that's pretty unheard of. Yeah, and then Nick played really well in the playoffs and the Super Bowl. But, I mean, is Joey older?
Yeah. Joey's older.
Yeah. Nick Bosa, from my point of view, is the representative of the Bosa brothers.
Yeah, at this point, I would say so. And when Joey was about to play in the NFL, there was a lot of controversy with him holding out for the Chargers. I remember that was like a little bit of an issue. That's not the best way to start your career off, and I feel like people were kind of rooting against him because of that. He's been doing great things in the NFL, but I think that kind of goes unrecognized because so many people have been trying to nitpick his game because he's just started off on such a bad note. With Nick, he was great in college. You know, the Niners were so happy to get him. He's made a lot of great accomplishments ever since he's joined the Niners. He's been everything you'd expect him to be. But if you combine them together, the talent is just unreal. I think it's a really good brothers duo. It's crazy how Ohio State keeps getting guys like that.
Yeah, how?
It didn't used to be like that, you know? They'd always get great players, but getting people like that, and then they just got Chase Young out of this draft, like, oh my God, I can't believe it. But with them, there's a much shorter age gap than the Watt brothers, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think Nick and Joey are... I think they're only like maybe 2 or 3 years apart.
It's not by a lot. I know with TJ and JJ, I mean, JJ is the oldest one on this whole list, but the age gap, it's probably pretty close, but I definitely think it's longer between the Watt brothers.
Yeah, I think it's a little over 5.
Yeah.
And I think Derek, who was not mentioned in this debate, I believe he's the youngest one.
Right. I mean, with the Bosas, I see them being in the NFL for quite a while. If you look at the Watts, how many years do you think JJ has left in this league? Because he gets hurt a lot.
Mm-hmm. I would say he has about 3 to 5 years left.
Yeah.
Dominant 3 to 5 years left. And then, like, maybe 1 or 2 years where he's just, like, struggling to be on a team.
Yeah, I mean, even when JJ plays it safe, he's not bad, but he's the type of guy who goes all out on every snap. That's why he gets hurt so often, because he's just giving it his all, and sometimes his body can't keep up with it. He comes back pretty well. It's not like he gets injured and is, like, any worse when he comes back, but the problem with him is, like, he gets injured, he comes back, and it's not like he avoids the injury for a while. Like, he'll get injured again, and I just hate seeing that.
Yeah. What else do you have, like, on, like, the Watts? Do you have, like, anything else?
I think TJ's actually been a huge surprise. With JJ, people knew he was going to be good. I don't think people knew he was going to be this good. Mm. With the Bosas, they had pretty high expectations. Of all the players on this list, though, TJ definitely had the lowest expectations, and the Steelers are pretty damn lucky that he turned out as well as he did.
Yeah. If you were to pick, which one do you think is better, the Bosas or the Watts?
At the end of the day, I'm going to have to go with the Bosas, just because I feel like they're going to play together in the league a lot longer. I think they get injured a lot less. I think they're better at, you know, meeting the high expectations set for them. They're pretty good at, you know, not letting pressure get to them either. Like I said, with Joey, a lot of pressure on him early on in his career, and he's kind of made a good thing out of that. But JJ is definitely the best player overall on this list. I think if you had to kind of rank all 4 players, it would go JJ, and then it would go Nick, Joey, then TJ. So I'm going to take the 2 in the middle over the 1 and the 4 option.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
I think you read my mind.
Yeah, so I'm just happy that these guys are able to play alongside each other in the league. I'm always a fan of brothers in professional sports.
Yeah, and now TJ and Derek Watt are now both on the Steelers.
Yeah.
It should be interesting. Do you have, before we end the podcast, do you have any other brother duos in like any sport that you think that we should talk about?
The McCourties.
Oh.
Jason and Devin. I'm a huge fan of that. I love seeing those guys in the same team.
Yeah, I think the Patriots got a steal with both of those guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think very lucky with, you know, drafting both those guys. I love seeing them play. Other brothers in sports, you have to look at the NBA. Giannis has two other brothers, although they're like fringe players, kind of. Like, yeah. they go back and forth between like last person on the bench on like a actual NBA team and like the G League or D League, where Giannis is like running the pack of the whole NBA. So that's like tougher to assess because there's such a huge skill gap with those brothers.
Yeah, it sucks that Giannis's brothers aren't as good as him, but who knows? They're a lot younger than Giannis is, so I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, that'd really be something if one of them broke out. I know whenever I play 2K and do like a My League, I purposely try to get the brothers on the same team. Sometimes it's actually a horrible move because I'm too optimistic that it's going to work out. But I don't know, there's like really nothing better I can think of than two brothers winning a championship on the same team.
Yeah, that'd be something.
Yeah, so
I don't know if it's happened. Not
well, besides the McCourties, I really can't think of another instance recently.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, so we'll just have to wait and see. I definitely think there are going to be more great brother duos out there. Like we just said with Lonzo and LaMelo, they're going to be guarding each other during an upcoming game. They're actually already talking mad shit to each other about it. I personally think that LaMelo is going to drop the floor with Lonzo, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just like riding the hype train a little too hard.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see. Well, that's all the time we have for the podcast. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you are listening to us on. Check out our Patreon for early and bonus episodes. We appreciate the support. We're actually recording these on Guitar Hero mics, so anything would help. Go follow us on our social medias, Instagram at Intentionally Foul. Look us up on Facebook at Intentionally Foul. This has been an Intentionally Foul podcast. Bye.
Take it easy, y'all.